Hear the word of God as it is found in the book of Ephesians, the 5th and 6th chapters. Would you please stand for the reading of the word? The Apostle Paul writes, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. You may be seated. Someone in fun has constructed the ideal model for a dad for teenagers. In this caricature, the dad says to his teenagers, "Could you turn that music up a little?" And he says to his 14-year-old daughter, "Now that you're 14, I think it's all right for you to go on dates unsupervised and to parties without chaperones." And to his 16-year-old, "Now you're 16. I'm going to extend your curfew to 1 a.m. And by the way, I think it's time for you to get an earring like so many of your peers. Let's go down and take care of that today. And while we're at it, let's get a tattoo." "And your mom and I are going to be away next weekend. You might want to plan a party." Well, that's pretty unrealistic, isn't it? You can't imagine that happening. That's not exactly the role model for great dads I had in mind today. There are positive and negative role models. We've got many positive models of great dads right out here today. The fact that you're here today and have your children and families here is testimony to that. But the reason why that is true in many instances is because you had a great role model in your own dad. He imparted unto you traits that you are still emulating today. But there may be some among us who are like myself. I didn't have a great dad. In fact, I had a very poor dad who gave me no positive role model at all for being a dad. He left the family when I was 6 years old in the first grade. I saw him one more time after that, about 6 months later. He gave no child support. The only clear memory I have of him is his whipping me with a belt. So that's a pretty negative role model, isn't it? And you might think from that I would have a very negative attitude about Father's Day. But you would be wrong. And you would be wrong for 3 reasons. One, we went to live with our mother's parents, our grandparents, and my grandfather stepped in as a positive father figure role model. It was he who helped me buy my first bicycle, my first car, a 1949 Plymouth, 6 years old when I was a senior in high school. It was he who gave me a job as a soda jerk in the drugstore where he was pharmacist, and I grew up having all the ice cream I wanted. Can't get much better than that. Secondly, not only did I have my grandfather, but when I later married and had children of my own, my children made me feel special. Wife and children on Father's Day, and honored and celebrated Father's Day in a way that made me feel appreciated and still does today. But even beyond that, the most compelling reason why I have still a positive attitude toward Father's Day is that I never took the role model from my earthly father, but I knew that I had a heavenly father and that my heavenly father loved me and cared for me. I was fortunate to grow up in the church from the cradle. I had some wonderful early Sunday school teachers. I had a pretty good understanding, really, of the scriptures and the major beliefs of the church as a young boy. And I knew as a young boy, as a child, that God was my true father and that God was revealed in Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ was the real model of how to be a great dad. Not only a great dad, but a great person. Not that I have lived up to that, but I always knew where the standard was in Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want to focus on just for a few minutes this morning, some traits drawn from Jesus Christ that give us a great role model for great dads. First, I would emphasize that Jesus had a great love for children. And that was in a time when children were not appreciated. In our day and time, we bring our children up front, we compliment them, we tell of their accomplishments, we brag on them. It was not so in the time of Jesus. Children were kept in the background, neither seen nor heard. And among the Romans, the father even had the authority to take an unwanted child and just take it out in the countryside and abandon it, or take it to the marketplace, the agora, where it would be picked up by slave owners and reared as a slave. That was the way children were viewed in that day and time. But you remember Jesus going along one day, the crowds were about him, the children were in the way, and the disciples started pushing them aside, and Jesus stopped and said, "Let the little children come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Jesus had time for the children. He recognized the children. They were important. And he said, "Of such is the kingdom of God." Well, we know that was selective because not every trait of a child is typical of the kingdom of God. Not the temper tantrums, not the writing on the wall with the crayons, not taking the brother and sister's toy and say, "Mine, mine," but rather that openness, that innocence, that trust, that willingness to accept and to believe. That's what Jesus was focusing upon, those aspects of children. And unless we, in that respect, are like children, then we shall not see the kingdom of God. One of the great regrets that I have is that I didn't spend even more time with my children. every minister is taught in seminary, you've got three priorities. Keep God first, your family second, and the church third. Well, I always tried to keep God first, but sometimes church and family got reversed. Out of pressures of taking care of all pastoral responsibilities, and I was teaching in college at the same time, sometimes that took of more importance, and family got relegated to third place. I regret that. I hope my children and God has forgiven me, but you dads out there now who have younger children, or maybe grandparents too with younger children, cherish the time, make time for them. Though that time is unrecoverable, you don't get a do-over. And so love the little children, accept the children, be kind to the children. That is one of the characteristics of a great dad that comes from Jesus himself. And then secondly, Jesus also had great love and respect for women, for parents, for wives, for marriage. Women too, as you know, didn't have high standing in the time of Jesus. But Jesus gave a special importance to women. He was obedient unto his parents, the scriptures tell us. And Jesus called women to be among his followers, his disciples, such as Joanna and Mary Magdalene. They were a part of his ongoing group of disciples. Jesus spoke against easy divorce. In that day and time, a man could just say to his wife for any frivolous reason almost, even burning his dinner, "I divorce thee, I divorce thee, I divorce thee," before the council, and it was a done deal. But Jesus said no, no more, and allowed only one exception, unfaithfulness. Jesus had a high regard for women. Mary Magdalene was the first one to encounter the risen Christ, and to her was given the commission to go and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. Paul built upon Jesus' new importance given to women. And Paul's counsel was for husbands and wives to submit to one another in reverence for Christ, to submit to one another. Oftentimes in the passage I read for the scripture reading, all that is remembered is, wives, submit to your husbands in everything. And admittedly, that doesn't go over well in our day and time of increased emphasis on women's rights and the Equal Rights Amendment being only one state away from ratification for being a part of the Constitution. Maybe it wasn't Paul's finest moment, but that statement has to be taken in the larger context of what he writes. He begins by saying that husbands and wives are to be filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit. And then he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then he tells husbands, love your wives even as your own bodies. And so this statement of wives submitting, when it's done in that context of under the leading of the Spirit, out of mutual love, it sort of takes the edge off of it. It's not submitting under compulsion to something unwanted. It's simply doing what you want to do. It's more like cooperation and compliance, because it is in accord with the very will of God and the way of love. Now, out of this, what I really want to extract for a great role model for dads is the importance of husbands doing all they can to establish a stable, loving home for themselves, and for their children. A home in which children can grow up feeling safe, feeling secure, in which they can try their wings, they can expand their horizons, and sometimes in maybe some sort of flaky ways, but it's done in an atmosphere of love and acceptance, knowing that regardless, they're going to be loved, they're going to be cared for, they're going to be appreciated. And if husbands can do that, they have come a long way in following the model that began with Jesus. Someone has said the greatest gift that a father can give his children is to love their mother, is to love their mother. The third trait of Jesus that I would focus on this morning to be a great model for great dads is to train and instruct children in the ways of the Lord. Jesus instructed his family. Who was his family? The group of disciples, the body of believers that evolved into the church. The body of believers, old and young, children and adults, they are his family. And he still seeks to instruct us today. And the truth of the matter is, we know in our day and time that many fathers neglect the spiritual training of their children. They just don't deal with it at all, just ignore it. And that can be a great disservice, for no matter how much a person may achieve in terms of prosperity or standing, if they don't know the Lord, well, then what the author of Ecclesiastes said so long ago is apropos: vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Even dads who bring their children to church too often depend upon the church in 1 or 2 hours a week to impart sufficient spiritual training. And that's just almost impossible odds against the effect of television and peer pressure the whole rest of the time of the week. It takes more than that. It takes some training and instruction within the home. That may be a time of prayer, a time of devotion, a time of Bible reading, but it also can be by example.
I keep hearing myself breathe in.
And some are better at doing it by example than by words. And sometimes that is even more influential, of being a dad of integrity, of honesty, keeping your word, seeking to be true in all matters. So training and instruction, that is one of the great traits stemming from Jesus that helps construct a great role model for great dads. And then the final one that I would mention this morning is Jesus sacrificing for his family. And again, who is his family? We're part of his family. All body of believers, part of his family. Young and old, children and adults. And we know Jesus sacrificed to the utmost, giving his life on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, our sins, and imparting unto us justification, righteousness, a new start for living life fruitfully, and the assurance of eternal life. Jesus sacrificed for his family of all time. And great dads today may be called upon to sacrifice for their families. Thankfully, seldom if ever physically, but in other ways, sometimes financially, sometimes giving up a personal pleasure, some special thing that you wanted, Dad, maybe a newer model car, maybe a new set of golf clubs, a vacation trip, but the money is tight. And so you sacrifice and enable your daughter to buy that new prom dress, set aside money so that she can go to college or he can go to college and get a higher education. And beyond financial sacrifices, there are also emotional sacrifices of being willing to give support unto our children in times of struggle and need. I suppose that our middle daughter has needed the greatest amount of support from us early in marriage, needing financial help to get business started. But then, as I told the Wednesday night group in a message several weeks ago, she lost two husbands to cancer before she was 50. You can imagine the emotional support that she needed from us and from her sisters and family. But thankfully, she is now doing well and has recently remarried to a guy who seems to be crazy about us and her, and they are doing well. But we're called upon to sacrifice what many of you already know. You never reach the point where you quit parenting, do you? You just never do. There are always needs on one level or another. And out of love for your children, a love that stems from God Himself, you just do what's necessary. You just do it out of your devotion to the Lord, out of your love for them. Well, there are many other traits of Jesus as role model that could be mentioned to make a great role model for great dads. But these four, I think, are pretty central, pretty key for us to focus upon and try to keep before us. And actually, they're not just for dads, are they? They're for parents. They're for people. They are for all of us. And that is to show a great love and appreciation for children. Spend time with them. Make time for them. To have a great love for wife and wife for husband. To provide a stable, loving home for the children to grow up in, unafraid, confident, secure, knowing their identity. And to give training and instruction to children in the ways of the Lord in whatever way is appropriate for your home and context, both by word and by example. And being willing to work and sacrifice for the good of the family in whatever way you're called upon to do so. Those are traits stemming from Jesus Himself that constitute a great role model for great dads, great parents, great people. Part of the family of God. And so today I can celebrate Father's Day in a very positive way, with a positive attitude. And I hope and pray that is true of you too. Beyond any disappointments, looking to Jesus as the one who provides the role model for us to follow and to seek to impart that same kind of love to our own children, grandchildren, and others. Following Jesus' role model makes Father's Day fabulous. To God be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. For God, we give you thanks that you have blessed us so richly and that you have been our model. You are the one that we look unto to draw forth traits to emulate and the power to put them into practice in our own lives. Lord, help us to celebrate this day in gratitude unto you, thankful that you are our true Father, Lord, and Savior. In your blessed name, we pray.